All right, Chris, that's ready.
I'd like to call to order the Monday, January 30th meeting of the River Grove Water District at 1661 Pilkington Road, Lake Oswego. Present are Commissioners Johnson, Howell, and Commissioner Magura on the phone, and Commissioner Patterson has an excused absence. excuse me. We have one guest, Lisa Volpel, so that will be the end of that. Do you have a comment, Lisa?
No.
Okay. So public comment, there is none?
Well, except that it'd be nice if this was on Zoom.
Yeah, it would. I agree. Review and approval of minutes. The regular board meeting on December 19th. Has everyone looked at those minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Any changes?
The only thing I'd note is it was Alan Patterson, right? Not Peterson. It says Mr. Alan Peterson in the notes there.
I will change that.
There's nothing to discuss about that one. That's an error.
That's just a typo.
No, yeah, you
just
need
as
to.
A point, yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't require any action.
Right.
Okay.
Where did I? Oh, I'm so sorry. I put Patterson 1 and Peterson. I'm so sorry. I'll correct that.
Okay.
And then all those in.
I was going to say, I just moved to accept the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay.
It's presented.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the board meeting minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. And there are no nays, so they are approved. December 19th executive session minutes. Any corrections to that?
Move to approve that minute.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Commissioner Magura moved to accept, and Commissioner Howell moved to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I assume you're in favor, Larry.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is unanimously approved. Let's move on to the general manager's report.
All right. Capital improvement projects. DMAR Tamara is done with the exception. They still have not hot sealed saw cuts that were put into Jean Road. As I put in my notes, Clackamas County and Lake Oswego both signed off on their completed final inspections. With there being a problem and that Lake Oswego took it in good faith that ICON would come back and hot seal those. So I sent a notice to ICON that liquidated damages started the 12th of December. I'm so sorry, started the 13th of December through January 6th when both Clackamas and Lake Oswego signed off. However, it came to my attention that they made an agreement, oral agreement with Lake Oswego to do the hot seals. And regardless whether they honor that agreement with Lake Oswego by our contract with ICON, they have to hot seal it. Mm-hmm. And so I let them know in writing that I was giving them an additional 30 days. They have until 3 February, at which time if they don't have that hot sealed by close of business, I'm going back effective January 6th and applying liquidated damages from December 13th to current. The clock's ticking again.
Okay.
I think.
Thank you.
And they haven't done it today. I took photographs because I have dates of everything I'm photographing, so they can't come and say, I did it last week, and I forward those to the engineers so they have file as well. And we also, they requested a payment for their second payment, and we're withholding payment until they adjust the change, until we, I did a change order adjusting their payment because they included that hot seal in there and it's not sealed and we're not paying them for work that they didn't do. So the ball's back in their court. That's why you and Commissioner Magura didn't have a monthly check for ICON for the payment. And the negotiations, we'll have to have an executive session. I'm not going to go into it in an open session. Little progress has been made, and that's all I'll say. And so probably at the February board, we'll have to go into executive session and discuss what our choices are. I put the project finals right now, so it hasn't changed from the last board meeting because we haven't processed their second request for payment. That's pretty much it on the DMAR tomorrow way. We did get a couple calls, two calls on tomorrow. Residents aren't happy with the paving because of pooling of water. However, I had to tell them the requirements. We followed exactly what Clackamas County said for us to do. And the requirements are to turn the road to as good or better. We did that. It's not, we're not paving experts. Clackamas County went out. The inspector looked when it was paved. And if I advise the two customers, if they're not happy, they need to take that up with Clackamas County Building. It's not something that River Grove gets involved in or does. We're not experts at that. They had a problem with their water distribution line or something like that, I'd be more than happy. I did give them the point of contacts of who they had to call. They were very thankful for that. And so they're fine with River Grove and are going to take it up with Clackamas County. On the standby generator, I got notice last week. Our delivery should be here on the 20th of June, which then puts me in high gear of getting the parking pad done. You'll see the contracts being considered. We're not going out for a general RFP with contracting laws because the generator cost $95,000. That's separate from the pad, which I think is going to come in somewhere about $50,000 to $70,000. I hope it doesn't. I hope it's more on the $50,000. And so we shouldn't have to bid that out. And I'm getting clarification from state to make sure that I'm correct. And so what I want to do then, if I am correct, and I think that I am, I want to just get it from three contractors. And these are the three contractors I've picked. Emery and Son, I think, did a wonderful job at Reservoir 3. Turney comes highly recommended. And Gregory Pacific, who we use anyway here in our district, I wanted to give him a chance to bid on it. So we're going out for those bids. And I want notice to proceed on April 1st and then give them 45 days, though they shouldn't need it. I'm just saying anything with the electric that's going to be run, because any of those are going to have to hire a sub-electrical contractor, to do the electrical work for the generator, with a completion date of the 15th of May to give us a 30-day breathing room, a window of when our generator's in. And remember, if we don't have that pad in place, based on the purchase order of that generator, we go into a penalty if they have to store it for us. So that's another incentive, and I'm all over this and have worked with RH2 and told them I want a proceed date on April 1st, no later than. And we think there's no problem that we're going to meet that. And attorney does a lot of work for Lake Oswego. And I talked with someone at Lake Oswego, and they highly recommend them. I had heard of them since I've been in this seat, but we've never had an opportunity to use them. So I'm really anxious to see what their bid comes in, because they're really talked about very favorably. The water main replacement project, you all are... Yes? I'm so sorry. I couldn't understand you.
Okay, let me try again.
There.
When will the contractors you just identified packages?
I want to have the contractor packages in by March 1st with a proceed date of April 1st. So
okay, so they went out to the contractor yet?
No, they haven't. I just I used again this weekend to review everything. They haven't gone out to the contractor. I understand that you want to review them. I hope to have them out, though, have RH2, I've told them, by mid-February. I want the packages ready to proceed for the contractors.
Good.
All right.
I'd like to review it.
Right.
For you.
Right. And when I dropped your board package off Friday afternoon, I was going to give a message. You were in your recliner recuperating. I wanted another weekend to look at that, because I'm also looking... this past weekend was my weekend to look for plans on everything. And again, I wanted to go over that with a fine-tooth comb because I've learned from ICON, you know, lessons learned, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, as a positive or negative. So again, RH2, I let them know mid-February, I want the packages ready to go out. And I'm the one who picked the contractors. RH2 didn't do that. I picked that. And I called around to different districts as well. And I called Lake Oswego as well. And I think Emory did an outstanding job, as I said. An attorney, I'm really anxious. I want to see what they're about. They come highly recommended. And then I think Gregory Pacific has stepped up and done a good job for the district. I want to give him a chance to bid on this, since it's not like a main replacement project. The main, talking about that, it was a perfect segue, wasn't it, into the 2022 water main replacement project. So we were ranked 39 out of 43 projects. I know that might be disappointing to some of you, but as I explained, the rankings are based on disadvantaged, and we competed against a lot of disadvantaged. Out of the 43 projects, 22 came in as disadvantaged. So you know that they're going to get higher than us. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And so everybody's competing, you know, for this bill, the bipartisan infrastructure mm-hmm. legislation. So, you know, we're no different than anybody else. And what I explained to one of the commissioners, I don't remember who I talked to, treatment's always going to get number one. And if you look at all the what we competed against, treatment comes out number one, and it's going to. Storage and pumping is going to come number two. We were low on the totem pole because, let's face it, all we are is piping. Our customers have water. They have safe water. They have good water. It comes to their house when they turn their faucet or spigot, they have it. We just want to increase because we have AC. So we're low on the totem pole. So even us coming in at 39 out of 43, I was actually happy. I mean, because I thought we were going to be a dead bottom, to be quite honest. I never wanted to say that to the board. So we are what we are. The amount of grants are still being prioritized, so I don't have any figure on that yet. But Drinking Water State Revolving Fund has, based on our ranking, will give us a $250,000 loan. So there's really not much more to talk about this until the grant funds are prioritized, and from what I've heard, they are swamped up there, even with the list and how they've prioritized them, and I don't think we're going to hear anything until probably April. But if I hear something sooner, of course, you know, I'll let the board know.
Judy?
Yes?
Is it my understanding, the way you wrote this here, $250,000 loan approval secondary prize coming out of our pursuit for a grant for
correct.
Water main replacement?
Correct. So say they give us $4 million in a grant, which that's an example. Safe Water Drinking Fund, Revolving Fund will give us $250,000 loan at a reduced rate. So that's not, yeah. So it's not a grant, it's a loan. And again, and I think we need to, you know, table this until we actually find out how much grant money we're going to receive, because this is going to take a big discussion with the board. We already have that loan that we're paying back on the Reservoir 3 project that costs us roughly $165,000 a year. And I would caution the board how much more debt we get into for this district. And again, I think that, you know, we're putting the cart before the horse. Let's wait and see what grant money we get. And then that can decide what project we're going to do and where we go from there. And we can have then that hard discussion that we need to have as a district.
Yeah.
So we might get some grant money then.
Yes. Yes. We're still up for grant money. If you look at that, the grants are still being prioritized. I don't know how much. They didn't tell anybody how much. They just prioritized our projects. So we're going to get grant money. It's just a matter of how much based on how much they're giving out to everyone else. So that's what I said. It's good news. It's actually better than what I thought. I really did think we were going to be probably like last or next to last. So when, you know, I saw we were 39, I was actually, oh, okay. So yeah, I was pretty pleased with that. I know that probably you aren't, Commissioner McGurra, but it actually is good news that we even got prioritized into the grant money. All right, water operations, premise isolation program, we're down to 55. The 55 remaining are ones that are hard, where we're going to have to, you know, they'll probably take, you know, we will average maybe to a day if we're lucky. These are the really difficult ones, and still expect, you know, we're going to come in. I know that I said June of 23, but I told the board I expect this to be done by the end of March, and I still think that that's a possibility. We do have our one of our water operators out this whole week due to, I have to be very careful, due to a medical condition that was incurred when removing a backflow last week, and that's all I can really speak on that. So with the other water operator in class all week, we're not going to be taking any backflows out this week at all. But still, regardless, I think we're going to meet our 30 March suspense. We did 31 site request visits. We had no emergency call-outs. Shutoff notices went out, and you'll notice that in the past, we've kept a less than 1% delinquency rate. So I highlighted the 3% delinquency rate because this is somewhat unusual for us. I attribute it to Christmas holidays. I'm not sure. We had 40 counts identified, and as of close of business today, there are 12 accounts that will be shut off tomorrow. I'll be doing it myself since I'm the only one available, and I'll start at 7:30, and then hopefully, you know, by the end of the day, as I'm still out shutting down, Michelle will get payments, and we'll get that all that delinquent accounts caught up. Hired the utility one position, hired employee training, no questions on that, of what we did this month. I do want to address the finances.
You want to mention that Bruce has moved on?
Correct. We hired a utility one position. Bruce received a wonderful employment opportunity. Going to not, you know, again, talk too much about employee. We couldn't meet the wage demand. Couldn't meet it. He's in management, and so he will be tied to the district in the respect of the company he's working for, and he got entry-level management there. They do our reader meeting, our meter reading. So he will be involved in assigning accounts and assigning who our reader is and stuff, and it was a wonderful opportunity. He is willing to, in case we need him, serve on call if we come down sick or... But again, there's no way we could meet the salary. And I wished him well. I mean, we hugged and
those
and
things happen, my God.
It did.
Yeah.
Every time I left a job, I always felt bad. But you know, that's how it works.
He couldn't even meet the salary you all. I mean, it's higher than my salary.
Yeah.
So I was so happy for him, and there was no animosity. It was so, and that's how you want it, them to leave.
Yeah.
And he is still going to be connected to us. And I thought it was very benevolent of him saying, hey, if you need me on call, like this would have been a perfect week. Like if I was sick, we already have one operator out, one's in class, where if I needed him, I know I could pick up the call of the phone and he would be there for us. So that's the way to go and, you know, wish him well.
Yeah.
I did want to point out on the finances, I went ahead and moved over most of our commitment. I moved over the $5,000 for the truck and the $3,000 unemployment and the $100,000 into capital improvements. Let me reverse that, commissioners. I'm so sorry. I moved over the $3,000 for the unemployment, the $5,000 for the truck, and $100,000 out of our $200,000 commitment. We're sitting very well in finances because we were repaid the $52,000 we put down for the city of Lake Oswego. They paid us back promptly, and I'll probably make that other transition in May. In doing the budget, I do have the budget completed, so we'll proceed with the budget meeting in April like we have in the past. I've only projected in a 3% increase in rates, and the projects that I'm going to propose to the board for approval. One of the things we have to do, and I've delayed it, I've put Band-Aids on it, I can't do it anymore. We've got to upgrade SCADA. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We have to upgrade SCADA, and we're looking at $400,000. And it hasn't been upgraded. I mean, SCADA is like 24 years old from the last upgrade. And something that I've learned about, and I do want to tell this story really quick. We kept having the well 2 alarm go off, and we couldn't figure out why. And I didn't know, like, is the well filling? Is the, you know, static level dropping? What is causing the well alarm to go off that it wouldn't engage? And I had our vendor out here, and they were, you know, we'll do some configuration. It didn't work after like $4,000 thrown at that. It kept going off. They lowered the threshold, you know, for the pump to come on. That didn't work. And so, as you know, 2 years ago, I hired Team Electric to do our electrical needs out here. When Commissioner Patterson was concerned about all the electrical things that were going on, that's who I went to because they come highly recommended. They work with a lot of water districts. So I reached out to them again and said, could you have somebody come out and look at this? I said, this isn't, you know, rocket science. Something's going on, and I don't believe it's this. I don't believe our static level is dropping. I don't believe the pump is failing. There's a disconnect. And so they had one of their electricians come out, and he is a generational electrician because his father worked at Team and it was very highly regarded. He's taught his son everything. So this young man came out, younger man, like, you know, I'd say 29, 28, whatever, came out, looked at the pump, and he was brilliant. And he said, Janine, has anybody put a monitor, like a light, so that we could go into SCADA and say, hey, well, too, we need you. And so we can find out, is SCADA then relaying that message to the pump, come on, we need you. And he said, I can do a circuit with a little light that comes on that SCADA's communicated. And then we know if it communicated, it's SCADA. If the light doesn't come, or you, vice versa, if the light comes on, SCADA communicated and it's something with the well. If the light doesn't come on, it's SCADA because SCADA isn't making communication. I said, how long is it going to take you to do that? He said, 5 minutes. So he hooks it up. We go to SCADA. We call for well 2. And the light didn't go on. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's not really what I said, but close enough. And I said, you've got to, and all these thousands of dollars. And so immediately got on the phone with our SCADA contractor and said, look, and so what it was a malfunctioning PLC. And we had extra PLCs. And so all they did was work together. They didn't do it that day because we had to have our integrator available. They just integrated into a new PLC, and it has worked perfectly since. And so the, and then I also had the electrician do some things up at Reservoir 1 and 2, and it cost us about $1,100 for Team Electric to be out here and to fix that when it had been almost 9 months trying to work with the integrators. And what I've learned about SCADA, and I still don't totally buy this because I'm very methodical thinking, is what I'm told is integrators, even though you have a SCADA system, it's like making a cake. Grant may come in and put baking soda in it. Jim may come in and put powder, flour, more flour. Chris may come in and put an extra egg. Integrators all integrate differently. And I'm like, what? I mean, I never understood that concept. So when our integrators have gone in to try to patch up what we have, they actually made some errors on our clay valve alarm. And for the last year and a half, we've just been living with our clay valve alarm being triggered, knowing that it's really not the clay valve. But because you don't know 100% certainty, at least once a month we go up when during our rounds and we check the clay valve. So what I'm trying to sell to the board, and it's not sell because this is a need, we need to have a better SCADA system. It's time to have it upgraded, and it's going to be expensive. And initially, I thought that they could piecemeal it together. But what I'm told is when the integrators try to go in, they're not the original integrators. You have to remember, we used Industrial Systems as our original integrator 24 years ago, and they have been until we parted company with them 2 years ago. And I think you all remember the situation up at the wells draining. I mean, the reservoirs draining completely, except for Reservoir 3. So I don't want to throw good money after bad. And I could come to the board and I could say, I need $100,000 to do more patchwork. But what is that really going to do for us? And so it's going to be expensive and it's going to be painful. But I think SCADA, the brains of our system and of our security, has to take a higher priority right now than AC replacement. And that's what I intend to address with the board and the budget committee in April.
Janine?
Yes.
With that explanation, which is very good, do you still feel a 3% increase in rate is sufficient with this $400,000 cost looking us in the eye?
Should we be discussing this since it's not on the agenda?
Probably not, because it's a big subject.
Yeah, it's a big subject. And let me get the rate study and then be prepared maybe to talk about this, Commissioner Magura, in March, right before we have the budget committee.
Okay.
Because this is just in draft, but the budget is done. But I want to prepare you all for SCADA because I want you to think about it, and I don't want you to be shocked.
I will say this isn't the first time in my tenure on this board that we've heard things about SCADA and issues with it, so this doesn't surprise me, to be quite honest.
It was incompetently installed,
yeah,
poorly maintained, and even worse, operated.
And I think that the board knows me now. I'm a very frugal person. I mean, I fought like heck to get that Doosan generator. I knew a generator of almost $100,000 didn't have more than 3 hours on it. Mm-hmm. And I kept calling and calling and calling. And as you all know, I can be very irritating to people. And that, well, I can. And it took a year. But I finally got a technician out here, and he pulled me aside and he said, "I am so sorry. It's the intake outtake." Now, I don't know if that was factory done, if that was a mistake from the factory, or if that was when we had all these people coming out before,
yeah,
because there was something here with previous management and personnel not running that generator and it always going off.
Yeah.
And ever since that thing comes on every single Monday, purrs like a kitten, and does its full load exercise for 30 minutes. We haven't had a problem with it. And so I am frugal, and I don't say this to the board that we need a new SCADA with this type of money. Because I'm not, you know, I don't spend money. I'm very conservative, and I just don't know how. So that gives you a thought, and we can talk about this at the meeting in March.
Yeah.
But just kind of be prepared. And then that's all I really wanted to point out on the finances. Were there any questions on the finances for me?
Nope.
No.
Your usual efficient report.
Are you prepared to discuss the balance sheet now, Janine?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
I have a question, and maybe it's just the way this sheet is organized. Okay, under the liabilities and equity, you itemize them all, that's fine. You have section 2100 payroll liabilities, $10,353.63.
Mm-hmm.
The next one below that says total other current liabilities, and it's the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
Are those other total liabilities that are not included in category 2100?
It's a sum of the previous item, because they're kind of I can't think of the word to describe it, but like they're categorized under each other, and
correct.
So other current liabilities includes everything in section 2100, and there's no other current liabilities, so that's why it ties out to the same amount.
Right, and you know those liabilities are always clear. And the liabilities are cleared. You carry that liability every quarter because payroll taxes are paid quarterly. So at 30 March, I'll go in and I'll clear those liabilities because our payroll tax will be paid. And you'll see that the balance statement for the end of March or April will be zeroed out again. And then it starts again, April, May, June. It's going to build up. You can't clear those liabilities until they're paid. We've paid them. Paychecks has charged them for us. You guys review it when you review the bills, but Paychecks doesn't actually go in and pay it until the quarter. So that money sits there and it's carried as a liability.
I am fine with the total category 2100.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
It's the next line down where you repeat the same amount. I believe that to be zero.
No.
There are no other. Are there?
No,
the total liabilities carries down, Larry. If you look, it's you've got your payroll liabilities, your current liabilities, your total liabilities. There are no other liabilities other than that payroll liability. Your equity is your equity of all your funds balances.
Okay, maybe it's just a semantic argument then, because if in fact there are no other current liabilities, it should be zero.
But there could be other liabilities. Like I could have booked, I could have booked that $52,000 of Lake Oswego, but it wasn't a liability because I knew we were going to get paid back in 60 days. But I could have booked that as a liability. And I didn't because it wasn't. I mean.
So if you had like a Section 3200 liability for revocable bond from the city of
correct.
Lake Oswego, that would have appeared under another section and it would have correct. Summed under total other current liabilities.
Correct.
But you don't. You only have the one section. So you only have the dollar amount there for the liabilities for taxes.
Correct. Grant's absolutely correct.
It's just divided up into a couple of subcategories, and as you step up the categories, it just sums the values, and they're the same because there's no other dollar amounts, no other categories for liabilities.
But there could be
right.
if I booked something against it. Like I actually put a call into Russ because the 10% maintenance we had to put now on DMAR totaled like $4,300, and I know we don't get that back for a year, and I already put a call into Russ. Should I book that under a liability? Because that's $4,300. And if I die tomorrow or somehow I'm gone, who's going to remember that we have a 10% maintenance guarantee up there with the city of Lake Oswego? Unless you go back through the finances. So, and I don't have an answer on that, unfortunately. But if he says no, don't do it. If he says yes, then there'll be a difference then even as soon as next month. I don't think he's going to have me do it, though, as a liability. I'm almost 99.9% sure, but I did want to ask the question. Because we've never done that since I've been here. This is our first project where we've ever had to put down maintenance bond or a maintenance fee.
Won't be the last.
All right. Any other questions?
I guess I had a question. This isn't on the report, but Clackamas County has a 5-year paving plan for the whole county.
Mm-hmm.
And they're proposing a couple pavement resurfacings for streets in our district. Are they pretty good about giving you notice for conflicts
yes.
and stuff on that? For
yes, they
protection
are.
On valves?
Yeah, historically, they've been pretty
they
good.
They are.
Okay, that's good, because I know that.
That's one of the areas they actually do.
They are. They are very good. And Lake Oswego is as well.
Yeah.
Good.
And in fact, that's the one department that I've called up on potholes a couple
yeah.
times over the last one, and they're out like 2 days later, and just boom, you know. It's,
yeah.
Transportation yeah. traditionally has been very well run.
It is.
Yeah.
They Lake Oswego just did paving, and they contacted us, and you, Larry, signed the bill for that. We paid for paving in the middle of Gene Road right here where next to our valves.
Uh-huh.
And we split it. I mean, we only had one. So, and then they ended up billing us for three. And I said, no, three. We only had one pothole. So yeah, no, they've been wonderful.
Awesome.
I have nothing
good.
Any type of comment about them other than they've been wonderful.
Great. I noticed my own cul-de-sac was getting repaved, and so that's why I asked
yeah.
if they'd...
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah,
I would say
yeah.
they paved my street.
Well, there was lots of campaigning
yeah.
every time a county employee
yeah.
came by. So.
Do you know what other roads they're paving?
Yeah, I'd send you a list. Yeah. Pilkington between Childs and Dawn,
mm-hmm.
and
oh,
then
good.
Red Leaf Court or Red Leaf Way?
Way.
Red Leaf Way,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So.
Yeah, that's just a teeny little...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no
they're not doing a lot. No Kenny, yeah.
yeah. All right, I'm done if there's no other questions for me.
Okay.
Janine, I had one other question.
Mm-hmm.
A couple pages on page 1 of 3 on the revenue expense budget for
yes.
contractual.
Mm-hmm.
It's looked at line 4056, 4056, bank interest, LCIP interest. And why are we at 251% of budget?
Because
they raised the rates. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
What LGIP? That when I constructed the budget, that's another thing people need to understand. Like, I've got the budget done now.
but I'm not going to finalize it until April when we have the budget committee. So at that point, if you remember last year this time, LGIP was paying what, less than, 0.01? So we weren't getting any revenue in. We weren't getting any interest. They've raised the rates, and so we're getting better interest. I can't, you know, control that. All I can do is forecast the best that I can control. And in fact, I got a newsletter this week where I think they're giving us now 3.5, which I was glad to see that.
Local government investment
pool. Local government investment pool. So, they give good. I mean, they give good rates. I mean, everybody. Most water districts have the LGIP, and you know, we don't earn interest on our checking account, but we do earn interest in our customer deposit account because that's not our money. It's money that we hold in transitory for our customers. That's an interest-bearing account. So that's good. I mean, you know, again, I'm not a mind reader. I don't know what the feds are going to do, you know, a year, 14 months in advance of when I'm building a budget. So all I can do is, and I am conservative when I go for projections, because the last thing I want to hear is, Janine, you said we were going to get 5,000 in interest and we got 1,000. I'd rather under budget the money that we don't really know, that isn't a known 100% certainty. I'd rather be surprised with more.
Mm-hmm. Under promise and over deliver.
Correct.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Unfinished business. Board relations. That is going to be part of the revised commissioner handbook. There is a small section in there that needed to be updated. It was sent to the attorney because I felt very strongly that we needed to update that because of the possibility of having to deal with issues of liability and make that clear about where boundaries lie. So that will be back sometime this next month, and it will be distributed with your board packet, and we can discuss it then.
And then also, Chair Roth, when you had told me to run the review of the board policy handbook right. that Mark Knudsen created for the district last year, and that the Board of Commissioners are every January at this meeting, you're supposed to sign that you understand the board policy handbook. And I told you, I felt uncomfortable if you mm-hmm. wanted me to run it. And I think that was a good call because they could potentially be signing something that's not, yeah. that's going to be outdated. Yeah. So I haven't forgotten about that form okay. and I will have it ready as soon as the lawyers do their review.
Yeah.
And so bless.
We're going to receive a commentary on that with the proposed policy revisions from our attorney.
Yes.
Okay.
You will get a copy of whatever the attorney sends to me.
Okay, great.
New business. Commissioner Magura, do you want to talk about the legislative day?
Why, sure, Chris. I made a couple of notes here. Let me find where I put them. Here we are. Yeah, I decided to accept the invitation from Special Districts Association of Oregon to attend their Special Districts Legislative Day on January 13th down in Salem. And it was at the convention center. It was about a six-hour-long meeting. There were about, I didn't count noses exactly, but there were about 65 representatives in the room. And it was a good program. I came away very favorably impressed with SDAO and the role they play in helping us do our job. And they're interfacing with the legislature and the state agencies. And a couple takeaways. I won't make this a long report. There are three bills that have been submitted to the legislature that would make changes to Oregon's public records law if they were passed. of work, and as one staff person, I think, working with him. One other takeaway from another session was talk to our state representatives about special grant funding. And an example, this one state representative from somewhere down in the valley, down around Albany area, I think, was approached by the local fire district that they needed a new fire truck and some other equipment. And he got, from the state legislature, a $2.5 million grant last season that paid for a new fire truck and the equipment they needed. They were thrilled that this worked. And I think we might want to consider, since we still have some, I'm very seriously concerned about continuing to kick this can down the road about our aging, failing HD pipe that really should be replaced in a timely fashion. Creating a legislative affairs committee of the board, maybe the entire board, maybe just anybody who wants to do it, and go down and talk to our legislators and see what the opportunities are to do like this fire district did and get a special bill through the legislature that would allow us to not go through the channels that Christina's been following, exactly what you should do, but this would be another pathway getting grant funds that would allow us to expeditiously get our piping system upgraded. I don't know if that's something we want to do or not. At my table is a longtime friend of mine, Greg DiLoretto, who was former the CEO of Swanton Valley Water District. Greg and I have been active in ASPE for about as long as we've known each other, probably more than 30 years now. And he said, what about River Grove doing bond financing, getting revenue bonds, municipal revenue bonds? And I said, I have no idea if that's a good idea or not. I do know before we could do that, we would have to have a bond study to see what our bond worthiness is. And that's probably something that we should consider putting in the next budget. It's not a huge item, $5,000 or $10,000 to pay for the study. And then we would know if that's an avenue we wanted to pursue in the future. So I think that's the end of what I wanted to share with you folks tonight.
Thank you. That was very informative.
I'll definitely look those bills up. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Question for you on that, Larry. Did SDAO in the legislative day, like, take any position on the proposed bills in terms of levels of support as an organization?
Not at this time, but they do, as you point out, they do take positions on bills. They just, the process hasn't, this is 160-day session, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And the legislature had only just convened the day before. So, they probably will.
A lot of sausage.
And, of course, if they take a position, they have to communicate that to the membership.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen them communicate things prior about prior proposed bills. So,
yeah.
Awesome.
Another thing that was clear to me was SDAO has their own communication pathway with the individual legislators, and they utilize that. So that's probably a good thing to be aware of. And if we do decide we as a board want to have a representative of this board go talk to our legislators, we got to run that through CAO. And they say, oh yeah, we have probably four or five that we could talk to, and they could then put us in the right direction. Who might be most willing and able to help us?
Well, an SDAO might even send one of their staff with some of us if we go to speak, too. You know, in fact, you meet
us
beforehand. So,
because
they're
interested in doing that, we've got to ask early because it'll take time to make that thing work.
They have a lot of credibility in Salem because they are a very organized, you know, organization, and a lot of credibility, a lot of, so, yeah. I think that would, you know, what do we got to lose? You know, and I think that SDAO would be more than happy to, you know, help us out on what, you know, how to approach that or whatever. So
that makes perfect sense.
I mean, I'll tell you, when the legislature's in session, Larry, we sent the Board of Agriculture's, when they'll have their meeting next month, they split up into groups and go over and lobby for different things. So it's not, you know, I think it's worth considering. You know, so we just make sure that when we send the board over there that we break up in groups so that they don't have a quorum kind of thing. And then we do it. So that's why we send more than one group.
Two at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe without letting this sit around put it out and see who else on the board would be interested in going along.
Well, and I think because this is a very technical issue, you're going to have to be one of the people.
Yeah.
And we need to have the chair there just because it looks good that the chair is there. So there you go. There's okay. The two people, in my opinion. I mean, I would love to go. I've dealt a lot with the legislature, but I think that, you know, you need to have the engineer and you need to have the chair. So
I'm willing to do it.
I am also willing.
Okay. With that said, how about I call SCAO and run this up? See if we can set up a meeting.
Yeah. And I would take I would take Janine along with you too if she's got the time, just because she's the manager and she that's not a quorum issue. So
yeah.
Okay.
And they're going to give you probably 15 minutes at the most, so you got to be ready to go.
Yeah. There's a line at the door.
In my experience, that's what they give you when you have a meeting with your legislator.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Changes to the handbook.
Yep.
Did anyone have any questions on that? The first one's pretty self-explanatory. It's just a typo. The second one, I think a district really needs to implement this for recruitment and retention. What happens is when an employee gets ready to leave, whether on good terms or bad terms, no one, since I've been employed at this district, has given 2 weeks' notice. And those that did really didn't give 2 weeks' notice because they called in sick because they had the sick hours. So this stops that. This gives them and us an opportunity to have those employees, give them an opportunity to receive pay for their sick time so they don't just leave. And again, all I can say is the whole time I've been here, I've never had an employee, even under the previous management, that ever gave 2 weeks' notice. They come in, leave, and they're gone, and that really puts us in a difficult position. And I really kicked around the percentage and really wanted 25. I did 20 because I just computed, but I used myself, but I'm a bad example. Because I really don't, I'm not sick that often. And so if you would like to buy out something for me, but then I looked at like an average employee. So I went back and pulled payroll for the last 4 years. And the average employee loses about 48 hours. So I came up with 20 and I'd like to stick with that. And
I'm going to think a lot about that because the state does not pay you for your sick leave when you leave, but you do get some of that when you retire.
And we do upon retirement. Yeah. That's why you'll see that
I left
retirement.
If I were to leave tomorrow, just leave the job, I don't get anything.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that can work against the district, and we're so small, Jim, and that's what I'm saying.
That's why I said I want to think about it. Okay. You make good arguments.
It works against us, and this would give them the incentive to stay. And, got better thing. That's wonderful. Now I'm sick. And so what good does that do? And you have no notice whatsoever. And today, you know, I'll make a point, one of our employees is sick and probably going to be out a week. And another employee's in a 4-day training class that has been set up. So I did the district. I was out with the customers. I was out well runs. I was doing everything. And a long day.
Do we have any requirements that if you're sick more than 3 days,
you
have to get a note? Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
And I've always, Well, you don't do it just if you suspect an employee is abusing it. And I've only had that.
No, I mean, that's routine. I mean, that's just, I mean, like I've got a surgery coming up in 4 or 5 months and I'm going to have a, doc send it.
Yep.
So I really wanted to get a decision so you all aren't comfortable to vote on the changes because, again, I need them to sign the employee handbook as soon as I can the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. If we make addendums or changes to the employee handbook, do they just acknowledge the changes?
They get the employee handbook. Okay. They have 2 weeks to read They have to read it again, but I do tell them these are the pages that changed.
Sure.
And then they sign a new acknowledgement, and it's filed in their employee folder. We're not the only district, not a lot of districts, I'm not going to mislead the board, but a lot of districts, more districts are doing this because no one gives 2 weeks notice anymore. It's, you know, in the HR world, it's one of the biggest things that we talk about at our HR Alliance. No one does it. And it is painful. And it's painful when we're so small. And that's what I went with 20%. You're talking maybe the average employee of what they have, you're talking maybe $150 to $200.
I will say one thing I do like is the rehiring policy within 180 days after termination. That's great because it encourages people to return. Mm-hmm. So I guess another question I have on this is for line item 3, it says the employee may not be in an active disciplinary process. And then it says employees will be considered in an action. And I think you mean to say active disciplinary process on the second line there.
Yes, thank you.
I'm just curious.
Any typos?
I'm sorry?
I believe I found two typos on the second page.
Okay.
Under item number one at the top of the page, where it says the employee must provide for rural water district, blah, blah. At the end of the second line, it says most, and I think it should be must. Must work, those 3 work days?
Yes, I'm so sorry.
Okay. And then down a little further in that same section, item 4, the third line, it says time of layoff minimum to 20% payout if applicable. I don't think you need the word minimum in there.
I think you're saying if they were an employee for like a minimum duration of time,
correct,
they would have to be employed to get a minimum of the 20% of correct the total of what they could earn, right?
Correct.
That makes sense to me.
So how do you want it changed?
I would just delete the word minimum after layoff. At the time of layoff, the 20% payout is applicable.
If applicable.
Is applicable, yeah. Leave that, or if you want to make it is applicable, I guess that's your choice. I just couldn't relate why the word minimum.
I mean, I don't want to split hairs with you, Larry, but minimum makes sense to me because if they're an employee of the district for a very short duration, what's the point of paying them like 5%? I mean, they're probably going to be barely through their training at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So I'd only offer it if they're going to stick around for a little bit. I mean, if you decide to jump ship that soon, you know,
yeah.
You know, the water's too hot in the pot, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'm just curious, Columbus Day versus Christmas Eve. I'd rather have Christmas Eve every time.
No, read it. Read it. The employees really don't get it. It's a bad deal for them.
Yeah.
It's except when it falls on a Saturday or Sunday. What did it fall on this day? It fell on Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it. And so trust me, I heard about it.
So the way to deal with that is instead of is what the state has done on situations like that is that you get what's called a governor's day, and you have to use it in the December 1st and New Year's Day or something. So then you can move it on either side of the Christmas vacation.
Or you could do a personal floating holiday throughout the year. That's something we did.
We have that. Yeah.
We did have a floating holiday, and we got rid of the floating holiday when we did Juneteenth. And I've asked the employees, and they would like Columbus Day because if you look, they get a day off on most every month.
I just have a problem except with Columbus Day is getting to be tainted because of indigenous people and the like, and I just don't want somehow us getting trapped into that.
Well, banks are closed. We can't really do much business. LGIP's closed, everything.
State's not closed, so.
I mean, I agree with you, Janine, on removing Christmas Eve. Like, I have to work Christmas Eve at work, and if I want it off, I take PTO.
Right. Yep.
So I think that's fine to remove it and replace it with another holiday that the employees like more. And I can see they have a holiday about every month except in October and April. So
I did ask the employees, and I did get rid of the floating holiday because then you're not sprung upon. You can't really plan. Again, we're small. And Peter Hicks, he was our employment attorney, thought that was just brilliant. You don't want floating holidays when you're so small.
Right, because then you have people use it exactly. Or they forget to use it till the end of the year, and then you have people out.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. I just, Columbus Day, yeah.
Are they calling it Indigenous Peoples Day now?
Some people are, but some people are still saying
Columbus. Why don't we just call it Indigenous Peoples Day if we're concerned about it?
In this area, that makes sense.
Okay. Alrighty.
So is there a motion? I've reread it before, right? I question the word minimum. I still don't like it. I think they're going to get the 20% layoff.
Okay, got it.
Well, aren't we going to discuss the details of this when we get the whole book?
You're not going to review the whole and you're not going to review the whole book.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do, and now you've got me on something else, because and I meant to put that in my financials to talk about that. Is anybody here open as a board to start getting things electronically?
Yes.
Because we are over our copy limit every quarter by almost $300.
Holy crap.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that.
Just do it electronically.
And that's why, you know, we stopped this. We've got the
iPads.
We're paying for those iPads every month. We're paying for the data plans on them.
Yeah. When Peter, I learned so much from him. He was such a wonderful employment attorney, which we could have taken with him, with Jordan Ramos. And if the book is and you guys just approved it in 21, these are the only changes. And then I can incorporate the page changes. And if you guys make the motion, adopt it, and it's good, and not run a 40-page manual for five different people.
Yeah.
And it's out there on the website, but I was going to talk to the board about that because I thought somebody would notice it in our contract. We're paying overage because of copier. And it shows up when you and Commissioner McGurra look.
Yeah.
You see the bill, copy overage. It's very, very clear.
Well, this is really time consumptive for you, Janine, honestly. I mean, you take, you know, great care to prepare these awesome binders. It's great, but if we get a PDF packet that has the same thing, I mean, I have customers give me printed site plans and they go straight in the recycling bin, you know,
Or you scan them and then they go in.
Right. Exactly.
So that's the difference. Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, probably need the entire board to come to a consensus on that, but I mean, that's been one of my things since I've joined the board. It's like, you know, these binders are very nicely presented, but we also have iPads that we're paying for every month.
And all I do with the iPad is check my email.
Yeah.
And we do. Each iPad is $49.90 something a month.
Oh, and that's just for the service charge on it.
That's just for you guys.
Yeah.
And then I have an iPad for SCADA, and then the district manager had one. I gave that up so the operators could have each their tablet. And two people could have on call in case like someone's in training or someone's sick. So that's where I gave mine up to.
I can live with it.
Yeah.
I would love it. But
I would heartily support that.
Yeah. No disagreement here.
So are we going to vote on this? Can we? And I took out minimum, Commissioner McGurra.
Okay.
And I'll
vote on the proposed chart changes.
Oh, I didn't know this was an action item. I thought this was to review. Okay.
No, it's an action item. It's new business. I'm hoping it's an action item.
Is there a motion to approve the proposed changes with the deletion of
minimum?
Yeah, of minimum and of active.
And must.
And must. And they will be replaced.
And okay. Did we want to change Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples
Day?
Yeah,
I will do that.
Okay. Yep. I just want to make sure that was noted too, since we discussed it.
So, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Commissioner McGurra moved. Commissioner Howell seconded. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. That is done.
Good job with this, Janine. I really like the whole, especially I think this will help retain employees if they get,
I do too.
I don't want to say if they get cold feet somewhere else, but you know, sometimes, the grass is greener on the other side and you don't realize it until you're out there. So,
You take a second choice job and suddenly the first choice becomes available.
And, the last couple of generations look at work differently than a lot of us.
Oh, yes.
Because I mean, it was, if you didn't give 2 weeks notice in my day, people heard about that and they wouldn't hire you on the next job. They don't. I mean, my nephew's an engineer. He's had three jobs in 4 years, and everybody just says that's normal. You know, they're just moving, you know, so.
My nephew is a sales rep for medical devices, and he has worked for, in 10 years, I'll bet he's worked for 6 different people.
Wow.
And the HR world, the because I keep up on all of that, the average employee stays at a job 4.5 years, 4.5.
I've been at the Department of Agriculture 27 and a half years.
But that's the average nationwide average.
Now, before that, I was every 5 years, but yeah. But still,
it's 5 years. And you're doing the averages.
Well, that was a different generation, too.
True.
Exactly.
Well, Clay retired from Northwest Natural, and he'd been there 30 years.
Yeah.
Not many.
With bigger companies like that, is you have the opportunity to wear a couple different hats, usually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so I started out in local government, worked my way up, and, you know, it's just the way it was, you know.
Yeah,
the job changed a lot while he was there, which is the only reason he stayed.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So nothing left to do on that. We voted on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I would just like to remind everybody, and all of you guys are compliant, so that won't be an issue if we do everything electronically.
I guess that would be one question that I have, pointing out electronically.
I wouldn't do it electronically.
Right, no, so that would be...
executive sessions are going to have to be
paper. Yeah,
that would be like a supplement that you'd pass out in a folder,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we
correct.
Would just return them. Yeah, that'd be a good... I would say, because otherwise, how do you do document control with that? So,
correct.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know how to put time bombs in.
Yeah. So I don't know how this is going to be addressed, but... I still don't have it as of today.
Okay.
So.
I will give the other commissioner a call when they are feeling better. Because certainly I'm not going to bother them now.
I would be interested in what Commissioner McGirt said about the public records law. Because we have a very good public records program and we follow it to the T with special districts training.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned.
Yeah, I'm very anxious to see what they're changing on it because it's already very time, everything is time sensitive and you have to do tracking. Well, you don't have to do tracking. I do tracking because I'm OCD and always want to keep the district above board so we can prove something was sent out. But you have to have now from when the request comes in, you're timed from when you meet it. Then after you acknowledge the request, then you're timed for when you produce the records. So I don't know if I'm scared or intrigued that they're making more changes to the law. It'll be interesting.
Other organizations are not nearly as compliant with this. So I think that's
I think
the driver behind
it. On some, you're right.
Yeah. And it really only comes into play if you are the subject of a civil lawsuit or civil action as a result of non-compliance.
Well, and a lot of it has to do, too, with, I've got a situation where I've got some citizens calling me up at work, and they want to look at some documents from a certain county, and the county won't give them to them. So I think, that's another public records issue. It's always not just, so that's, it happens to be a local county, too.
I
would encourage any other commissioners to attend this legislative event next time they hold it next year.
I think that would be.
I'm going to do the same thing for the short session next year.
They usually have something.
I had never gone before. I thought it was worthwhile.
I can keep this one, right?
Thank you for attending. Yeah, you guys take everything. There's nothing in executive session other than the minutes.
But the meeting minutes need to be
the meeting back. Minutes
right.
I need back.
I say I just left them in here.
Okay, thank you. No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Do we have any other business? If not, it is now 6:35 and we are adjourned. And thank you for giving up your vacation time, Commissioner.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Larry.
See ya.
Let me stop.